Well, good morning. Good to see y'all here this morning, those of us that are online. If you would, please stand if you can. We'll start out by singing, "You Are Good." Good and your mercy endureth forever. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Amen.
Great is our God. Sing with me how
Jesus tenderly calling you home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will you roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, his tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him your burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn you waiting. Oh, come to him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with your sins at his feet, lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice, hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is Amen. Father, sorry. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. Yes, sir. We can do victory in Jesus. I had it in practice. Sorry, guys. Praise the Lord. We'll try it next time.
I think it's 426.
Victory in Jesus, 426.
Or it wasn't the hymn I used to sing out of.
Yeah, let's try it.
Anybody got it?
Blessed be the tie that binds.
Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus. I'm going to the index when in doubt. 353.
Well, you know, I was 100 off.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's the old hymn.
Nice.
All right.
Yes. All right, here we go. Victory in Jesus. Is it on the screen? Oh, it is. Wonderful. Okay. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Thank you. Yes, sir. All right. It was easy during practice.
If you get us through the first little bit, we'll catch on.
There you go.
You just need that first little bit.
Yeah.
All right, birthdays, how about it?
Amen.
Anybody got a birthday?
Oh, is your mic on?
Oh, my mic's not on. Can you hear me now?
It'll boot in 5 seconds.
Testing, 1, 2. I think I'm in there. All right, Brother John. Brother John Davlin, going to have a birthday on Monday. How old are you going to be, John? 76. All right, way to go, Brother John. John Davlin, all right. And then Miss Nancy Borgman. Miss Nancy, if you're watching with us online, happy birthday to you, Miss Nancy. She's going to have birthday on Tuesday, 7:20. And then we got Friday, 7:23, Sissy Hendricks. All right, Miss Sissy going to have a big birthday. All right, there it is. Amen. One more birthday, Miss Sissy. One more. All right, you want to sing them?
Yes.
Anybody else got a birthday? We get them all? Okay, sing it out.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Many more. All right. Outstanding. Now, are you fanning yourself with that book? Well, the air is on. It just came on. Okay. All right. Very good. Children's church today? No children's church? I think these guys are hanging in here because Bubba's getting baptized. Okay. All right. Hunter's getting baptized today. All right. Amen. Very good. Got a few announcements for you this morning. If you're walking in the door going, did I forget to put my deodorant on? What's that wonky? What is that? We had the carpets cleaned in here on Thursday, and so it'll take it a few days for all that cleaning stuff and moisture to get out of the carpet and the pews. We blasted all the pews, got all the COVID cooties out of there, and so you're first ones to sit on brand new, freshly steamed pews. So congratulations! But that's what that is. If you're smelling that, all right. And then we got a members meeting. Looks like August the 1st, and so paperwork, financial reports will be going out after this service today and next Sunday as well. That'll give you 2 weeks for those financial reports, and then we'll have our members meeting, not Sunday morning, but we'll have our members meeting after the PM service on August the 1st. So that's the next big announcement. Sunday PM starts back tonight, So hope to see you back here at 6 p.m. Sunday p.m. starts back tonight, 6 p.m. Those of you watching us online, I don't know yet whether that'll be live stream. That's we're kind of kicking it around back there, but it'll at least be an audio recording for you to listen in if you'd like to do that. Baptism today after service, and this is, miracles never cease. Amen? They never cease. Brother Jeremiah received his first COVID shot. Amen. Team Moderna. All right, he's Team Moderna. So how many days out are you, brother? Yeah. So you got to kind of be inoculated if you're going to stand up here and blast this way to the congregation. Amen. And so I've encouraged him to keep his mask on and everything. And I think people watching online, seeing him with the mask, maybe think that we still have a mask mandate. The masks are optional, but if you like to beller, when you sing, that's how I sing, kind of beller, right? You like to beller and you've not been inoculated, it'd probably be a good idea to keep a mask on. But if you're a low singer, just kind of talk and sing at the same time, you're probably okay. Amen. You're probably all right. Very good. All right. Well, did I get it all? I got a couple of more announcements. I picked a watermelon that was so good. I mean, this watermelon was so good. When I ate the rind out of that thing, I had to go and get a straw and suck up all the juice. That's how good the watermelon was. Amen. And I got one more announcement for you. I've got a cat that is the best cat in the world. Well, how good of a cat is he, Pastor Lee? He is so good. He's so good that he lets me put eye drops in his eye. So, I mean, he's a good cat. He got hit in the eye. Another cat got him in the eye and took him to the vet. And I was like, what? And the good news was he didn't have his eyeball wasn't scratched, so it just got him down here. But his eye was doing how cat's eyes do. And so he lets me put that drop in 2 to 3 times a day. That's a good cat. Amen? Y'all are like, who cares? All right, take your Bibles. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Matthew chapter 11. If you're watching with us online, good to have you with us this morning. Those of you in attendance, good to have you with us as well. Let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 11, beginning here in verse 28. We've been referring to these verses, but we haven't preached through them. But we're going to do that right now. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and we'll read it through the end of the chapter, verse 30. Have you found it? The Word of God reads this. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray that our hearts would be open to receive it, God. And if there's one here among us that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that through the preaching of this gospel, through the reading of these words and through the telling of this passage and the breaking down of this, Lord, and trying to explain it and apply it, Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would so prick the heart and squeeze that the conviction upon that lost sinner that they would, Lord, they would break from their independence and they would break from their own self-leadership, Lord, and they would come today to receive you as their personal Savior, Lord. Thank you that you still save. Thank you that you've saved me. Thank you that we have a church here today with saved folks in it. We praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, for those watching online, we pray if there's someone that doesn't know you that comes across this today or a year from now, Lord, we pray that this moves them another step, another seed planted on their way to being saved, receiving Christ. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, we look at this passage, and we think about these words, and they're comforting and encouraging to us. These words right here, when we think about the larger context of what's going on, where we've been in the text, and coming down here now to the end of chapter 11, it gives evidence of our Savior's love for His brethren, His Jewish brethren. He has just given them that strong rebuke for rejecting Him. He walked among them and did all these miracles among them, and yet they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't change their mind about who He was. And so even in the midst of that strong rebuke and the afterglow of that strong rebuke, we have here Jesus, their prophesied, their Christ, their Messiah, their King, rejected by them. We see Him one more time reaching out to them with grace. The main kind, if you're thinking about this with me today, the main kind of thematic point you do not want to miss as you look at this passage is that you do not want to display the same kind of indifference to the invitation that Jesus' brethren did. You want to hear this, you want to have an open heart to this, and you want to respond appropriately to this. And as you approach this passage with me this morning, and as we begin to unpack it and dive in and break it all up and try to get all the small parts explained, you want to ask yourself the question, have I, sitting in the pew today, watching online today, have I merely believed in some facts about Jesus, or have I truly come to Jesus in a very personal way? And which begs the question, well, Pastor Lee, Brother Stephen, how can we know for sure if we have come to Jesus in a very personal way? Well, I'll give you a qualifier. Do you have rest? Do you have rest? Not just for your body. I'm not talking about body rest. I'm not talking about physical rest. But do you have rest for your soul? Is the yoke you bear, on the whole, is it easy? Is the burden you carry, on the whole, is it light? Now, perhaps the yoke, the burden, perhaps it was easy and light at one time. But now, not so much. Or perhaps you find upon self-examination, the yoke and burden never truly was easy and light. Perhaps you have never had rest for your soul. If that is your situation, then I know what's going on in your heart. I know what's going on in your mind. I know what's going on in your being. You long with all of your being for your situation to change. And you're trying this over here for your situation to change. And you're trying this over there for your situation to change. And you're trying just about anything for your situation to change so that you can find some soul rest. The bottom line is you just need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Him. And your desire for change, this wonderful, most blessed of all invitations from the Lord Jesus, is for you, friend. It is for you. Now, satisfying rest for the soul can be yours if you will truly, genuinely, Holy Spirit-led, convicted of your sin, if you will truly come to Him. Amen and amen. I want to share with you three things about these three verses. Number one, we see a grace-filled invitation. A grace-filled invitation. That's verse 28 with me today. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is full of grace. Had we not sang victory in Jesus, we would have probably sang amazing grace. Amen. It is a grace-filled invitation. we ask the question, who is this invitation for? Right? Well, it's for several different kinds of folks. Number one, for those who labor and are heavy laden under the horrible burden of trying to do what? Of trying to earn God's righteousness by the works of the law. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, that's what was going on in the immediate context, don't you know, right? These Jews, they thought they had an inside track to Jesus or an inside track to God, and they were going to keep the law. And what does the law do? The law, you can't keep it because none of us are perfect. So you can't earn your way. You got to have grace. So Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." This is Jesus' wonderful invitation to all men and to all women who labor under the impossible task of trying to earn God's favor and earn eternal life for themselves through their obedience to the works of the law. Now, Jesus invites such a man or woman to come to him and find rest. For those who take him up on his offer, the work of salvation is already done. That's so freeing today, isn't it? I mean, golly. I mean, we live in a performance-based society. We live in a very competitive culture. We live in a very, you know, dog-eat-dog world. We live in a very, man, you better get with it and get on down the road. We live in this situation, but when it comes to this, when it comes to our salvation, it's so counter to the way we think and the way we've been brought up and the way we deal with our everyday life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified." Galatians 2:16. Who's this invitation for? It's for people trying to earn it and can't, right? But this invitation is also for those who know that they failed miserably, those who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have failed miserably and who feel the horrible burden of guilt and shame. Oh, this invitation is for them as well. King David spoke of this guilt and shame in the 38th Psalm, Psalm 38. Psalm chapter 38, verses 3 through 4 reads, "There is no soundness in my flesh." Listen to that. "There's no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation." He's talking to God here. "There is no health in my bones because of my sin." He's talking about his own personal sin. "For my iniquities are gone over my head." He says, "My iniquities have gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me." Right? And so for every man or woman who has ever felt the horrible guilt of sin, a guilt that no amount of good deeds would ever undo or erase, if that is you, then we have a wonderful invitation for you here this morning. A wonderful invitation. Romans, again, chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're talking about a grace-filled invitation. We're trying to answer the question, who's this invitation for? It's for those who can't earn it. It's for those who know they have failed miserably. But it's also for those of us who labor and are heavy laden under the everyday trials of life. Can I get an amen? My soul. We are burdened every day by trials. Every day by temptations. We burdened by weaknesses of the flesh. We suffer times of sickness or physical or emotional pain. We are burdened by circumstances that come upon us that are outside of our control. We are burdened by cares and sorrows and disappointments and frustrations. And what's more, in addition to that, we sometimes suffer the attacks of our enemy, the demonic. Just think of how much we labor and are burdened by the troubles and the trials of life. Friend, when you distill it all down, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, when you get down to the middle of who you are, when you get down to the very essence of you and your struggles and your pain and your setbacks, and when you get down to all of it, Jesus knows about all of what we go through in this life. He's not ignorant of what you struggle with. He doesn't turn a blind eye to it. He invites us to find relief by coming to Him and casting all our cares upon Himself. He wonderfully cares for us, and so He invites us to come. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me give you a little application here right now, right quick. Application right here, right now, right quick. Jesus' promise, His great promise in these verses that we read this morning, it applies to the everyday trials of life as much to the profound matter of righteousness before God. Don't miss that. First of all, we have a grace-filled invitation. As we continue on answering the question, who is this for? Notice to whom the promise is made to. We've listed three groups, but it gets even bigger and broader than that, because the Word of God reads all. It reads all, doesn't it? Come to me, all who are weary. All. Don't miss the all there. Amen? Does not matter who you are. Does not matter who you are. Does not matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Does not matter if you are the world's most outwardly moral person trying to earn your way to God, or the world's most despicable sinner attempting to flee the guilt of sin. Jesus extends this invitation to all. All are to do what? All are to come to me. All are not to come to the law. Law's not going to get you there. All are not to come to religion. Religion is going to sell you short. All are to come to a wonderful divine person named Jesus. And so the question, make this a point of application right here, right now, have you truly taken Him up? Have you taken Him up on His invitation, friend? Have you taken Him up? It's a grace-filled invitation. Number two, this morning, as we think about these three verses, 3 points and three verses, it's an invitation, it's a grace-filled invitation, but secondly, it's an invitation to fill you up. I mean to fill you up, friend, to fill you up. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, to fill you up. Now, I've got to be honest with you here. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Take here in the Greek is an imperative verb. It's not, you know, if you feel like it, you know, maybe you ought to. It is a command. It is a command verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So you say, well, Pastor, I mean, don't I get a choice? Isn't there some free will? Yeah, we first have an invitation here. We have an invitation that stresses your free will in the form of a command. You can choose to submit to it. You can choose to come underneath it. You can choose to obey it, or you can choose to not. Or you can choose to not. But let me tell you something. As we answer the calls in our life, Jesus is ready to load our wagon with His blessed goodness and His ways. Yeah. Those of you that have joined here from other churches, those of you visiting from other churches, you'll find, I need to make a note here that I'm mentioning this, you'll find that Pastor Lee, that's me, I'm not going to sell you the church. You can talk to some of these newer members here. Pastor Steve didn't come by my house. He didn't call me every week. I send you a visitor's letter, let you know that I can read and write, amen. Let you know that we're friendly, and we're thankful that you're here, and it's an answer to prayer that you came. But friend, we're not looking here for consumers. We're looking for people that are called to be a part of New Hope Baptist Church. The last thing I want to get in the middle of is the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart, whether or not you are called here or not. Amen? Amen? Don't want to get in the way of that, right? See, as we answer the calls in our lives, though, and as we answer the calls in our life, as we submit to what Jesus is telling us to do, what He's leading us to do, how He's prompting us, as we do that, as we come under Him as Lord and say, Jesus, when we do that, Jesus is ready to load our wagon with His blessed goodness and His ways. Which brings me to this next subpoint. Not a suggestion, but a command was the first subpoint. But secondly, what is this yoke that we speak of? Now, some of these younger kids may think, I didn't know eggs and bacon and ham was in the Bible. Talking about a yoke. We're not talking about a yoke and an egg. We're talking about a yoke that goes on a beast of burden. A yoke was a large wooden crossbar that was carefully carved to fit over the necks of these beasts of burden like oxen. The preacher was an oxen, like a big old cow, man. Right? An oxen, right? Yokes were made to hold two animals together. They were connected by leather straps so that then the team of animals, the team of oxen could be made to carry a burden. Or they could do some kind of work together. A yoke then was an instrument that focused the will of the animal and brought the animal under the master's control. When we think about yoke here in the Bible, man, certainly the New Testament. The word yoke, it was sometimes used in Jesus' day as a figure of speech. Sometimes the word was used to symbolize a heavy burden. The Bible uses yoke as a figure of speech, for the heavy burden of the law of Moses. For example, in Acts chapter 15, verse 10, where the apostles insisted that it was wrong to place the burden of the law of Moses onto the new Gentile believers. Acts 15, 10 says, "Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" The Apostle Paul felt so strongly about this in his letter to the Galatian believers. They were seeking to return to the law of Moses as a means of making themselves more righteous in the sight of God. And Paul urged them not to place themselves under that old burden again. Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Sometimes the word yoke was used as a symbol of being under submission to someone else, of being in a state of servitude under the authority of a master. Paul wrote to Timothy and instructed him to teach servants to honor their master's authority. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against." Now, that verse would not be read in a woke church, but we're a Bible church, not a woke church, so I can still read that passage. Amen? All right. So what is Jesus commanding us to do when he invites us to take up his yoke? That's my third subpoint under an invitation to fill you up. Right? First of all, he's inviting those who are weary and heavy laden under the unbearable burden of the law to put off one yoke and take up another. He is inviting them to come under the burden of trying to find righteousness before God on the basis of their performance. He's inviting them to come out from underneath that and to take up another yoke, which is easier, a burden which is lighter. Or we've already tried to apply it here this morning. Maybe you need to come out from underneath a burden of guilt. Or we've applied it here this morning. Maybe you need to come out from underneath a burden of pain or a burden of awful circumstance or a burden of whatever. But I want you to notice here. See, we as Americans, I'm a Texan, I live in America, right? We as Americans, let me get my vernacular right. We read this passage, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest." We go, period, stop, that's all I need to read, right? I don't want no more. I just want the rest part. But there's more to it. Verse 29. Well, I don't know about 29. "Take my yoke upon you. I've already had my eggs today, preacher. Take. I'm supposed to crack two, and take a whole dozen, throw them up in the air and run underneath? No! Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," right? Well, that's where we, I don't know about that. Jesus does not invite us to come to him in order to be yokeless. In order to be yokeless. We come under a yoke when we come to him. And there are some demands of his yoke. Not demands to earn your salvation, but submission to his lordship because you are saved, which proves your, gives testimony of your salvation. Do y'all remember Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39? Matthew 10, 38 and 39. You remember that passage? Let's turn back just real quick. Matthew 10, 38 and 39. The Word of God reads, Matthew 10, 38. Are you there? Yeah, Matthew 10, 38. Somebody? Amen? You remember that passage, don't you? That's a squirmy in the seat passage right there. Squirmy in the seat. Ooh, I don't know. 10, 38 and 39. Whoa, I wish that message would. Boy, when that one was preached, I wish that message would end quick. "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Amen and amen? Yeah, there's some demands of his yoke. The yoke that our Lord places us under is one that demands our all. Our all. But even then, the yoke that he's asking us to get up underneath or commanding us to get up underneath is far easier and far lighter than any we could place ourselves under. Don't miss that. There's no more freeing place. There's no more liberating place. There's no more fulfilling place than to be under his service. You say, why do you say that? Why do you preach that? Why do you think that? Why do you believe that? Why do you interpret the Bible as saying that? Because friend, don't miss this. When you take his yoke, submit, obey, answer the call, the Holy Spirit goes to work inside of you. The person of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like having the realization. There's nothing like experiencing the reality of coming to grips and realize, not for pride's sake, it's actually a humbling, it's a humbling thing when you finally figure it out. And a lot of times it's a hindsight thing. It's always 20/20, right? Hindsight, looking back. So there's nothing like knowing and celebrating and worshiping God for the fact that He has strengthened you. He has worked through you. He has got a sovereign plan for your life, and you have not obeyed it perfectly, but you have taken some steps of submission and obedience. There's nothing like that in the world. That connection with God that you have, that connection with His Son, when you realize that the Holy Spirit has strengthened you and worked through you, there's nothing like that in the world. You say amen, I'll move on. Amen. Good night, boy. Come on now. Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 3 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. That's how it begins. The Spirit of life is working in you. The Spirit of life will strengthen you. The Spirit of life will empower you. It's an invitation to fill you up. So what is Jesus commanding us to do when He invites us to take up His yoke? Right? Try to answer that question. Secondly, Jesus is calling us to deliberately let ourselves become instructed by Him. Instructed by Him. In the days of Jesus, to come under the direct teaching and instruction of a particular rabbi was often referred to, remember we talked about how yoke was used as a figure of speech in the first century? Was often referred to is taking up their yoke. I'm following Rabbi Jesus. I'm taking up His yoke. This is what it meant, to become one of their students, to become one of their pupils, to become one of their learners. And Jesus is here commanding us to become His student, His disciple. Now, I'm going to geek out with you a little bit on the Bible. I love studying this thing, and I love getting into the Greek of it and trying to figure all this out. If you look at verse 29, the very front end of that verse, the Word of God reads what? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." From me, right? Learn from me. That Greek word there, that little Greek word for from, that preposition from, can also be translated of. Learn from me, learn of me. From me, of me. Learn of me, learn from me. Of or from. In other words, this Greek word can either mean to learn from Him in the sense that He is our divine teacher, or to learn of Him in the sense that He is the divine subject. Well, preacher, which is it? Is it from or of? I think it's both. No, I believe it's both. The passage is saying both to us. The passage is opening the door of both options. This is, we don't find it a lot, but this is one of these plurality of interpretations that we sometimes find in the Bible. In that when we come to Him, we learn from Him and we learn of Him. In other words, Jesus is both the reason we learn, and Jesus is also the lesson we learn. So we see a grace-filled invitation. We see an invitation to fill you up. And then we end this thing with a blessed assurance. A blessed assurance. There's a song about that, isn't it? blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Over the foretaste of glory divine. Amen? A blessed assurance. Look at the second half, verse 29. We'll take it through verse 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We got that part. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen? It's a blessed assurance about what? Well, first of all, about himself. He's approachable. Jesus Christ is approachable. We need never fear to take him up on his great invitation. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the sin. You don't know this. You don't know that. Jesus does. Jesus knows, and you still never need to fear to take him up on his great invitation. We can come to him and draw as close to him just as we are. You come to him just as you are with a genuine open heart. You come to him like that. He will change you. But the initial come to, just as you are. Just as you are. We can draw as close to him as we are willing to draw, friend. He'll always welcome us. Jesus will always love us. He will never give us more than we can bear, right? But will always strengthen us by the person of the Holy Spirit, and he will always enable us to bear the burden he places upon us. Always. Every time. Amen? It's a blessed assurance about himself. He's approachable. But secondly, it's a blessed assurance about his command. What do you mean? Well, friend, there are some benefits. There are some benefits. He tells us that in taking up his yoke, we will find rest for our souls. We'll find rest for our souls. Have you ever been so tired? So tired you felt like you were tired down to your very soul? Weariness of the soul is not like weariness of the body or weariness of the mind. Soul tiredness is not the kind of weariness that we can relieve by merely getting a good night's sleep or by taking a vacation or by changing our diet. No, 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 no. This weariness, this soul weariness, is down to the deepest level of your being from which you cannot relieve yourself. You feel like you are out of place, out of sorts, consistently, all of the time. Your soul weary, right? Well, you come to Jesus, you get what? Rest for your soul. It's a blessed assurance about himself. He's approachable. It's a blessed assurance about his command. There are some benefits. It's a blessed assurance about his burden. What's the blessed assurance here, preacher? Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When an ox was to be yoked, right? I know I'm preaching this and I studied it all week, but I still, when I say yoked, I'm thinking of scrambled eggs in a pan. But when an ox was to be yoked, beast of burden, yoke on his back. When an ox was to be yoked, it was first brought to a yoke craftsman, a maker of yokes. The ox was first measured for the yoke, and then the yoke was roughed out, and the ox was brought back for a second fitting to try on his own personal yoke. Then the yoke was adjusted and shaped again so that it would fit easily, or it would fit lightly to that animal, so that the yoke would not hurt the animal to wear it. In other words, no undue pressure points. The load was spread out over the entire surface that touched the ox's neck and shoulders. I tell you that to make the point Jesus does the same for us. That's how well He knows us. And He'll not place a yoke of service upon us that's not easily or lightly to the way He has made us. Tailor makes his yoke for those who come to Him. The proof that you are carrying the right burden, the proof that you're carrying the right burden is that for you, the burden feels light. Somebody else look at your burden, they say, man, how does that brother or sister do that? Well, that burden was specifically made for them. That's how they do that, specifically made for them. We cannot bear this burden in our own power. Remember that. But we can't bear it. And the good news is, we were never meant to bear His burden in our own power. You've still got some finger strength left in you, and you've not dozed off to nighty-night land. Take your Bibles and turn me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Kind of nailing home here what we've been talking about. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Give you some different anchors for this truth throughout the Word of God. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works outside of us, that works down the road from us, that works only at the church on Sunday. That ain't what it says. According to the power that works within us. Yeah, amen. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You probably know this one by heart, 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Amen. All full circle. All comes back, all ties together beautifully. Amen? And so, back to where we began, perhaps, there was a time when your burden was easy and light, but not so much anymore. How come, what for? Well, a little disconnect going on between you and the Lord, maybe. Well, what's causing the disconnect? Well, maybe some selfishness or some sin, right? Things need to be dealt with. Things need to be confessed on out. Things need to be shucked on down. Things need to be laid at the foot of the cross, right? For those of us that at one time, it was easy and light, but not anymore. Not anymore. It's almost unbearable. We're carrying some stuff we need to let go of. Right here, right now. That's your application, man. Right here, right now. In the altar, maybe, for you. Right? For those, the burden has never been easy in life. Never, ever. Friend, you just need to simply obey the command and come to Him this morning. Come to Him this morning. We're going to have a time of invitation. Brother Jeremiah is going to come. I'm going to pray. He's going to make his way down here. He's going to lead us in a time of invitation. I'll be down front. The altars will be open for you to unpack, unload, get out, get rid, move on, move upward and onward. And I'll be down here front if you need to talk to me about coming to, answering this invitation for the first time. I need to come to Jesus. Oh, I've known some facts about the Lord, but I've never really genuinely placed my faith and trust in Christ. I want to do that today. This Christian life, it sounds like something that I want to enter into, this relationship with Jesus. man, I want to trade this yoke of guilt and shame. I want to trade this yoke of performance. I want to trade this yoke of pain or whatever. I want to take that yoke that has been perfectly made for me. Well, friend, if that's you today, I'll be down here to talk to you. The Bible's really simple, really plain about what it means to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
He promises to save you. He will. Let's have a word of prayer, and then Brother Jeremiah will lead us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Pray for those, Lord, that need to make decisions of getting unburdened, uncumbered, lightening their load, Lord, so they can carry what has been perfectly made for them to carry. Lord, we're thankful for them that are feeling that struggle, if they're feeling that conviction. And Lord, if they don't make that decision to get unburdened here this morning, I pray that before the day is out, that they would make that decision and, Lord, just lay some things down at your feet and come on back to where they need to be spiritually. For others, Lord, and perhaps there's somebody watching us online right now, for others, they've never come to you before in a genuine, heartfelt way. And Lord, we're praying that either in this service or online somewhere, that God, they'll finally come to you. They'll look this passage up. They'll read these words. And they'll surrender their life to you right then and there. Confessing to you, Lord, in a personal prayer or a prayer with somebody else, that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and inviting you into their heart, into their life, to be their personal Savior and Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you command us to come. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid it all, took care of it all. May we take you up on. May we exercise our will to take the greatest invitation that was ever offered to mankind. We love you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If y'all stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us this time of invitation. And Hunter, if you want to come and make your way, buddy. There you go, man.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, And grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen.
You may be seated. Need to move our pulpit out of the way here a little bit. How far you want to go with it? Is that good right there? James, can you see? You and Kathy see? All right. You ready? Hold on, man. That boy's ready. I knew it wouldn't be long. You ain't going to get no two hymns on Hunter. Hunter ready to get it. Hunter ready to get it. He's probably ready the third verse, man. Like, let me have them clothes and get on that bathing suit. All right, man. Whoo! Well, you got to be thin to get through that door. All right. You ready, ready? All right, Mom's going to film it. All right, I got it warmer for you, buddy. Come on down. You're going to like that. Not cold at all, is it? All right, just walk right around there for me. All right, face Mom. There you go. Well, you can face the congregation for a minute if you want to look out there at them. All right. Now, remember, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, right? This is Hunter Hanzik, by the way. Amen? Y'all want to say hi to Hunter? Hunter's our next, newest, freshest, I mean, just right out of the water member. Boy, you feel like you're at like a signing day. You got three phones filming you. Amen? I mean, where are you playing baseball in college? Well, I'm going to. Amen. We want to have this a great memory for you. So this will be on the Facebook and all kinds of different stuff. Mom's going to keep it. Mom's going to keep it in great accord, and it'll be recorded for all posterity. So, couple questions. Amen. Have you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Amen. Is it your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism?
Yes.
Amen, buddy. All right. Remember, I want you to hold your nose for me. Amen. Yeah, just pinch your nose. You're good right there. Because of your obedience to the will and the word of God, Hunter Hanzik, it's my great privilege and honor to baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Jesus in the likeness of his death, to rise and walk in newness of life. Amen. All right, all right. Mom will meet you over there, buddy. All right, all right. Amen. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you, Hunter. Very good. All right, I'll invite you to stand. And we'll be dismissed. Deacons, I'm going to see you for just a little bit. A small impromptu deacons meeting. And it'll be good, good, good. Brother Paul? Brother Paul McCormick? You want to close us out with a word of prayer, brother? Thank you, Brother Paul.